Hi, welcome to A Teen's Guide to the World. This is a podcast where I talk about everything that crosses teenagers' minds, from books to politics to movies. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about my EPQ and the topics included in it. Now, let's get started. An EPQ is a very popular choice in schools across the UK, and it stands for Extended Project Question, and it can be in three different forms. A dissertation, which is around 6,000 words of writing, a performance, so like drama of music, or an artifact, so like creating something. And they all revolve around one question which you choose and research for up to, let's say, 5-6 months, based on anything you want, anything at all, provided that it has nothing to do with what you're learning. It could be like extended research based on what you're learning. For example, so I'm learning the French Revolution, and if I talked about French economy pre and post revolution or something like that, that would be a good point because we don't actually cover that. But if it is something that you cover directly in your class, your question cannot be on that. And it is, well, I believe it is in order to broaden people's research and make them look into topics that relates to their uni degrees, which I think is a great thing to do. So a lot of the time, people will do it in the place of a fourth A-level. Now, EPQs do not actually count as an extra A-level, and although this was different a few years ago, now a lot of top universities don't even take into account how many points or what grade you got for your EPQ. But they do give you points towards UCAS, just like an A-level would. But if you're doing four A-levels, then it wouldn't make that much of a difference. It is now about as significant as grade 5 onwards on a music instrument, but it serves a lot more academic and supercurricular, in the words of Oxford University, advantages, like research, which would be very useful when you're in uni. And it allows universities to see where your interests lie within your subject. Now me, on the other hand, I'm also doing an EPQ, but my question has nothing to do with what I want to do. Well, it could be argued that there are some links between history. However, the point of my question is nothing to do with history. I just decided to look into something that I am very interested in that I will not focus in the learning setting. So my question, well, my title is Design a Dress That Combines Both 90s Western Fashion and African Fashion to Show the Influence of African Fashion in the 90s. This is because if you look at a lot of key figures and celebrities during that time, especially with the rise of hip-hop and black artists and black actors, you will see them incorporate designs that are very, very popular or were popular at that time in Africa. Most of these designs were from West Africa, but you see things that were also seen in East Africa. So the key features of African fashion around the same time frame can be put into two groups, at least that's what I did, East African fashion and West African fashion. And I am from East Africa. So in East Africa, we see the influence of the safari style. In the 90s, it was incorporating elements such as khaki pants, safari jackets, and bush shirts, reflecting the region's natural landscapes and wildlife. And this also transferred into the early 2000s, where you saw a lot of camo, baby tees, camo bandeau tops. Something as simple as that can be linked back to these regions in Africa, which is supposed to represent the area, you know, because East Africa is known a lot for its wildlife, its safaris and the animals. And I found that really fascinating. I did not know about that at all. Another point is vibrant prints. So the kitenge, a colourful pattern fabric, was very popular in East African fashion during the 90s, with garments often featuring bold and vibrant prints in traditional motifs and designs. This can be seen in not only in other African communities and cultures, but also in West Africa, with artists such as Erykah Badu and Lauryn Hill wearing bright colours with vibrant prints. I'll come back to them later, but they are very key people in spreading the influence of African fashion. Urban streetwear in areas like Nairobi and Dar es Salaam embraced the streetwear trends of the 90s, including baggy jeans. But there is where the fusion was very apparent, as they also included their own cultural fashion or arts, which can be seen in the Kitenge, and this transferred over to the West. In West Africa, they had more of an influence of traditional textiles. West African fashion in the 90s prominently featured traditional textiles such as Ankara, which is also known as African wax print, and Kente, which, like the Kitenge, are garments adorned with intricate patterns and vibrant colours. As you can see, there are many similarities between the areas within Africa, but this made the influence much greater, and as it wasn't like there was a great divide between the arts and fashion in the continent. Moreover, the Grand Bubu, which was a flowing, loose-fitting garment, was a staple of West African fashion, worn by both men and women for special occasions. And you can even, if you search up a photo of Erykah Badu's outfits, you can see her wearing stuff exactly like this. In America, due to slavery, people's ancestry was never traced back to the specific areas, more like regions of Africa. So you can see this with a lot of Swahili schools being opened up in the South around this time. Rappers like MC Light, who attended them, despite not even knowing if they were from East or West Africa, just desperate to get back at their roots, which is amazing. So, as you can see, both East and West African fashion celebrated vibrant colours and bold prints in cultural heritage. And this eventually transferred over to the West. And by the West, I mean like America, Europe, and this can be seen in Vogue or in the works of artists. So, the very prominent colours that were worn by Black celebrities were yellow, green and red, which are seen in most of the African flags. I think I have it written down here somewhere as to why they use those colours, but I'll get back to it. But in Africa, it's very apparent that they used lots of vibrant colours, like deep blues, rich reds, bright yellows, because I don't know if many people know this, but bright colours all over the world, that dating back to even the Egyptian time, the ancient Greeks for sure, was symbolic to mean wealth and virtue. So in ancient Greek frescoes, you'll see blues, which was one of the most expensive paints to get, as it was made from lazuli. So in most cultures, these bright colours used to mean wealth and just great livelihood. And this was continued in the African fashion. In the 90s, you could also see these bright colours being incorporated, not necessarily for the same reason, but the Western fashion did embrace these bold, vibrant colours, especially like electric blue, lime green and fluorescent yellow. Contradicting that, there was also a rise in pastel palettes used, adding like softer and more subdued elements to the outfit, which could be mirroring the very mild palettes of the safari and camo nature patterns that were seen in East Africa. This can also be seen in the earth tones like beige, khaki and camel. And if you look again at these artists, even if you look at Ashley Banks from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, there is a rise of the what is now known as the earthy girl vibe, where it's waist beads, lots of rings, nose jewellery, hair tied up, and very monotone green colours. But did you know a lot of that influence came from Africa? The nails, the long nails, the gold jewellery, that's very prominent in North African fashion, dating from pre-common era Morocco and Egypt, where women would sport long nails and thick golden jewellery, chunky bracelets, beaded necklaces. Waist beads are more of a controversial item of jewellery, as in West Africa, they were used symbolically to represent a mother and daughter relationship, as a mother would gift those beads to her daughter as she came of age to get married. They were also used for weight loss, for well-being, to signify getting older, like the equivalent of a sweet 16. Yet in East Africa, if you wore them, you were a witch doctor, which is quite funny. I found that out when I was getting my first waist beads, which I love, although they do contradict my culture. These natural materials that are seen in this earthy girl tone is seen in many aspects of African fashion, like incorporating wood, bone, shells, semi-precious stones. Like the recent rise of amethyst in jewellery as a ode to the 90s, this use of semi-precious stones came from Africa. People aren't acknowledging that a lot of what they thought of as the 90s, or think of as Western 90s fashion, is coming from Africa. Now, to end this, I'll talk about what I believe the causes and influences were. I think a big part of this wasn't growing, not necessarily nationalism, but in the words of my history teacher and an activist called Randolph, the sense of Black roots. The 90s saw a rise in Black American celebrities like Salt-N-Pepa, that is a duo, Will Smith, Queen Latifah, who embraced Afrocentric clothing and their culture. And this was integrated into Hollywood and TV fashion, even Will Smith wearing his blazer on backwards in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That was an ode to African fashion. In people's music, they were talking about how they wanted to go back to Africa. They're talking about what it means to be a Black American and trying to find their roots. Other TV characters, Moesha Mitchell, played by Monica, gosh, that is embarrassing, and the Murray twins in Sister Sister. The four girls and girlfriend, one of them, I forgot her name, the really crazy one, she is a staple of the earthy girl, Erykah Badu, Lauryn Hill inspired actress person, which I think is a great way to cultivate a lot of African fashion. Because whether Black people are given the platform they deserve or not, they still have other ways of expressing their nationality, where they feel like they lie in their hearts. And that allows them to express individualism, but links them to Africa, where even if they came from the Caribbean, it still links a lot of the West with a place that they have attempted to polarize, to distance themselves from, unless it's for humanitarian and image purposes. Now that's just the surface of my EPQ, but I think this was a very interesting question to pick up, because I am victim to trends, and I love the idea that 90s and 2000s fashion has come back. I'm always borrowing my mum's old clothes or trying to find stuff online, just searching vintage, 90s, jeans, you know, just like most teenagers are. But I was really fascinated as to where this actually came from, what stemmed from this. And I know I only talked about celebrities, but there are many designers, such as Jo Casely Howard, Hayford, Adi Bakari, and that's just the beginning. But I hope you enjoyed this brief dive into my EPQ question. And maybe it'll inspire someone else to take one. And I think it is a great idea. Knowledge is fruit for the mind, is it not? Okay, I hope you guys have a great week, and thank you for listening. Goodbye.